opportunity to show your power. The women are close by, weeping, no seeming threat to Rome. Young John edges up closer as the crowds drift away. Nothing more to see. John is perhaps young enough to seem like a youngster with the women. Jesus is not defiant. He seems mostly within himself, pushing up against the nail through his feet to get a bit more air in his lungs. He is human. Most succumb to asphyxiation when their chest muscles eventually paralyze. Jesus grimaces, pushes up for air, and speaks to John and Mary, his mother, look after one another as mother and son. Earlier at the trial, Jesus tells Pilate, the Roman procurator, this is all happening exactly as my heavenly Father wishes. That statement is in serious doubt in the eyes of all who see this spectacle. Jesus is in control of nothing as far as they can observe. But after several hours, Jesus proclaims loudly, "It is finished." His spirit leaves his body at his last command. The other two men crucified with him are not able to do this. The religious authorities want the bodies down that afternoon before sunset, bringing this special Sabbath on Passover week. The soldiers smash the shins of the other two with a mallet so they can no longer push up to breathe. A final excruciating degradation so they can no longer get air into their lungs to scream in pain. Eyes bulging, mouths gasping for air they cannot access, they suffocate. Coming to Jesus, they see that he is dead. John tells us the execution soldiers, who know their killing business, shove a spear into his side to be sure. When they see separated blood and clear serum coming out, they know for certain this body is already dead. Let's read from Luke. At verse 39, in chapter 23 through 43, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are justly punished, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." God's word. A conversation between three people dying on three crosses. Conversation never got more real than that. All of them put there to die slowly and horribly. Whatever is there to talk about? The only thing in front of them is death. Is there something beyond this? Is there heaven? Now, we talk about heaven in kind of a theoretical way. And we think about it, especially when we lose someone. But being in heaven, apparently, is very simple. It's just that it's not easy. Simple, but not easy. Being in heaven is being with Jesus. Jesus says, "You'll be with me this day." It's that simple. But being with Jesus means leaving it all behind, leaving your baggage, leaving your sin, leaving your pride, That's not easy to do. Even on a cross, one of them lets go of his sin and his pride, one of them not. And so this cross, this instrument of torture and death, is the ugly response of those in charge of the great human institutions toward God himself. And crucifixion is how the powerful feel about God. The cross was the power of Rome to deal with criminals and slaves who dared raise their hand against the powers that be. Three men hanging on three crosses, hoping to die sooner than later. Excruciating. We get that word from this cross. Excruciatus. Ex means out or from. And cruciatus is what we get crucifixion from. From the crucifixion, from the cross, our highest word, or our word that designates our most extreme description of pain, excruciating. The kind, it's not a metaphor. It means the kind of pain from being crucified, in which after the torso muscles no longer function, you have to push up against the nail through your feet to get air into your lungs. And so they broke the legs of these two criminals and found that Jesus was already dead. But what conversation from those who will not escape this horrifying death? Is there any facade to keep up anymore when you are trapped between here and death? Will you push up on the nails to get breath to say something that you think is not true, that you just want to be polite? I think not. We're beyond that now. The first criminal keeps up his unbelief, his hatred, his cynicism to his last gasp. Jesus does not answer him. Why don't you save yourself and save us? Jesus doesn't waste a breath to answer that. His silence says this: you can have it your way. You can be without God forever, if you wish. But the second outlaw sees a glimmer of light beyond, and it is coming from this man, Jesus, on the cross next to him. And so it comes to this: when you are with Jesus, heaven is very near. When you are with Jesus, heaven is very near. Even hanging on a cross next to him, heaven could be today. Not very far away at all. And so the criminal who believes and Jesus tell the whole story in their conversation. Just a few things that we learn from this criminal who hung there and expressed his belief. If you fear God, you recognize who Jesus is. You recognize that he is King of Kings. Don't you fear God, he said, that since you are under the same sentence? In other words, do you think God is going to allow this injustice to stand? You are right next to something that is happening in this realm and in the next realm. Do you remember Mary and Martha, the sisters? They were sisters of Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. And Martha, when Jesus came to visit them near to his final trip to Jerusalem, not far before this story happened, Martha was busy and was upset with her sister, but Mary refused to be occupied with daily busyness when Jesus was nearing his death and visited her house. She got it. And this other criminal, that's all we know of him. That's all we know of him, who his name is. This other criminal got it. There is nothing more extreme than dying here together, all of us. Let me tell you that his name is known in that realm. Just as surely as your name is and my name is, if we are in Christ, his name is known. And so the leadership of the nation and the occupiers of the nation believe that they have exercised their power over Jesus. And their fear of God hypocrisy, their pretense at loving God, the religious leaders certainly, was a sham only to maintain power, because when it came down to it, the cross was their answer to God. In fact, though, in expressing their own will, they accomplished the very will of God. God is that good. God grants their cynical request. If you are the Son of God, save yourself. And that's exactly what God did. God raised him from the dead and made him king of all the universe through the expression of their will. But God's was done. So Christ is risen. I tell you that. Far above any high priest, he is our high priest before God. Far above any procurator like Pilate or Roman Caesar, he is the King of Kings. And so they, Caesar and all those officials, they would get decked out in their symbols of power and their symbols of wealth so that you would fear them. Jesus needs none of that. He is the one whom you ought to fear, because he really is King of Kings. Do you fear God? If you do, do you know that that means something in your life? If Jesus is King of Kings, if he is raised from the dead, is that just something that, well, that's cool, I like that? It's more than that. If he is Lord of Lords, you and I have got to deal with him. We know this, if he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we will meet him face to face. We will answer like everyone else on that day when every knee will bow and every mouth will say, Jesus Christ is Lord. We will all say that, whether we believed him or not. When we set our eyes on him, all of our excuses, well, you just don't know how my life was. Well, actually, he does. You know how your life is. All of our clever questions, well, answer me this. Nope. All of our cynicism is going to blow away like a hurricane hitting the morning mist. It'll be like it was nothing. We will shut our mouths. We will have one thing to say. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the risen Lord, and that means everything. And so the next obvious thing when you are this close to Jesus, hanging on a cross next to him, is that he took the judgment we had coming. The man says, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. He had it exactly right. It's hard to miss that hanging on a cross next to him. He is not struggling for his life in the sense that they were. They were at the end of all things, but Jesus Christ knew exactly why he was there. He knew exactly what was going on. And he endured it as a human, as one of us. One commenter says that the most perceptive people at the execution scene were the centurion who said, surely this is the Son of God, and the criminal who said, we are punished justly, but this man has done nothing wrong. Both acknowledge that. The prophet Isaiah says that he poured out himself to death, and he was numbered among the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. He was there for us, every one of us. every one of us who will say, yes, you are Lord. Do you know, and this is hard to imagine in this day and age that we live, do you know that we actually don't deserve to be in heaven? That's all. It's getting to be a controversial statement these days. We deserve everything. We hear that all the time on the television about what we deserve. You deserve that. We deserve a lot of things, but heaven's not one of them. We don't have a right to be in the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus bore the sin of many, including you and me, so that we could be in that place. He took the punishment that we had coming. He made it possible that we could be in that place with him, even today, as that man was with him that day. And so finally this, if you call on his name, you will be with him. That is good news. Trust him wherever you are, even hanging on a cross, dying. This man was clearly out of options. And yet he did the one thing he could do. He exercised faith. He was saved by his faith. What else could he do? He could not be baptized. He couldn't even get enough breath to speak in tongues. He couldn't do any good deeds. And Jesus gave this man, who's known forever as an outlaw or a criminal in our history, he gave him more than he hoped for, far more than he asked for. He said, well, when this is all over, remember me. And Jesus does far, far more. He gave him more than he knew to ask for. No, it won't be someday if it works out. No, it is today. It is now. And it's because I am making it so. That is what Jesus did. And so we find that the heavenly places, we can't see those places yet. They are located differently than physical places. It can be in the same space we are, and we would not know it. Back in Genesis, when Jacob had a dream and saw a ladder going into heaven and saw God at the top of the ladder speaking to him, it says he woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. You and I are that close right now. Jesus is in this place. I know that because there are many of his people in this place today. And he dwells among his people. And that is good news. Amen? Yes. And so he is close. And so I tell you, heaven is close. Anne Lamott, an author with whom I agree with almost nothing except this. She is a believer. She says, grace means you're in a different universe from where you had been stuck when you had absolutely no way to get there on your own. And so this man received grace that day. He was given far more than he dreamed of, and Christ has given us far more than we can even comprehend. Will you cry out to him today? Not just remember me, but save me now. Hosanna, Hosanna, save me now, son of David. And it is, as it is always, it is your choice. If you want to say, I don't want to be near any God, I don't believe in God, that's your choice. And you will spend the rest of eternity without God. That is not a good thing. That will not be a good thing. Whatever story you manufacture around it, oh, I want to be with my family members who weren't believers either. You won't see them. You'll spend eternity looking for them. Whatever. I don't know. What I know is this, is that the kingdom of God is so big and so real that it requires knowing the Son of God, the King of Kings, in order to even be the right size to walk up the steps into that place. Those who walk away, C.S. Lewis tells us, they're so small that the first step is just almost out of sight for them. They can't get there because they have nothing. And that man on the cross had nothing to give except, Lord, I believe you. Remember me. Save me. And so all he requires of you is whatever you have and whoever you are. You don't have to be anybody special at all to come. In fact, sometimes if you think you're too special, that keeps you away. Well, I don't really need him. But the truth is, you do. However special you are or are not. So I would encourage you this day, come to him, the resurrected Christ. You can be with him today. You can be meeting him in that heavenly place right now. You can be living right up against heaven for the rest of your days. And what a glory that is to know the resurrected Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for laying down your life for us and taking it up again in power. That has made the cross mean everything. It means our sins are forgiven. It means that we are with you forever. We want to be with you. Lord, whoever has said in their heart today, Lord, I want to be with you. Lord, forgive their sins by the power of the blood that was shed on our behalf. Fill them with your Spirit. Make them know that they are your child. We will thank you for this. In the name, the powerful name of Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen.